From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show, named Best Radio Show in the Wisconsin Broadcasters Awards for Excellence. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Bill Michaels Show on the air. How are we looking today? Hopefully you're having a good day today. Hey, I want to remind you, coming up in a couple of weeks, I can't believe we're a couple of weeks away from this. As a matter of fact, 3 weeks from today. Is it 3 weeks from today, Joe, that we do the... Because is next week Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Holy crap. It's 2 weeks from today.
2 weeks.
2 weeks from today, we start our toy drive. Oh my God, a week from Thursday. Man, oh man, oh man, a week from Thursday is Thanksgiving. Woo. Oh my God, how time flies. Anyway, 2 weeks from today, we start our toy drive benefiting the Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. And for those of you that are outside of the direct Milwaukee area, we're going to open things up again like we did last year. So you'll be able to make some donations if you wish to, monetary-wise. And if you're in the area, keep in mind the 26th through the 30th, the 26th through the 30th, we're going to be at Blaine's Farm and Fleet on Rawson Avenue in Oak Creek. And start getting ready. We're looking forward to it. It's always my most... I love football season. I love doing, say, State Fair and being out there at Goose Island at the Bud Pavilion. I love all of that. But there's something about Christmas time and doing the show down there and just really looking forward to it. So kind of put it on your calendar. Put it in the back of your head. Coming up on the 26th, 2 weeks from today, we will be live at Blaine's Farm and Fleet in Oak Creek as we get you ready for the toy drive benefiting Children's Hospital of Wisconsin. So hopefully you can come out and say hello to us. We really would want to put a face to a name and shake a hand and all that kind of good stuff. Let's get back to the phone calls. Green Bay Packers, they get a win yesterday. What is your level of confidence going into Thursday night as they take on the Seattle Seahawks? And remember, it's not easy for the road team on a Thursday night to begin with. The odds are against them that they're even going to get a win. So you tell me, what is the likelihood of the Packers coming out of this, not only with a victory, but then maybe you get a bit of a mini bye. You get 10 days you can go into and make a little hay by going to U.S. Bank Stadium. Maybe you can knock off Minnesota, and all of a sudden, bam, you're right back in this thing. Right back in this thing. Let's go to Dwayne listening to us in Oshkosh. Dwayne, welcome to the program, The Bill Michaels Show. What's going on, man?
Hey, Bill. Level of confidence of the team stays the same, just indifferent.
Okay.
And basically, number one reason, they don't have any quality wins. The people they've beaten this, it's, you know, they had one quality win, but the incompetency of the NFL referees took that away. I hope McCarthy has finally realized that he's got a running back and he's got a really good running attack. And I was telling your producer, the thing that's missing mostly from the passing attack with Jordy Nelson, the back shoulder throws were all wonderful, but I think there was more of the fact that he couldn't get open anymore and he's just a great hands guy. And Rodgers just said, I'll throw it to him, he'll catch it. They used to run a great play action pass. The running back belly fake behind him. Rodgers would run from one hash to the other hash, stop there, and throw across the field to the other hash where Jordy Nelson had put himself. And that was their deep play, and it was consistent, and it worked all the time. But it was because of the belly fake to the running back behind him. Now the running backs are on the side of him, and I have no understanding what that even is. Like your one caller said, get his rear end underneath the center. And maybe sometimes run two back sets. Boy, would that take out a defense, because they might think, wow, they got two guys that might actually run the ball.
Yeah.
But no, you know, and that's just, you're seeing this, you know, it's like they brought Philbin back to bring back all these great plays, and I'm looking and going, where are they? Where is the offense, you know, that was? I mean, Amon Green was the burst running back. They've got one now, and Aaron Jones, give him the bleeping ball. Give him 20 carries a game. You know? I mean, he can really run the football.
It's
proven now.
It's interesting. No, it's interesting when you appreciate the phone call, because you got me thinking about a couple of different things, okay, which is always good whenever somebody makes me think. First and foremost, when you talk about wins and quality wins, their quality win believe it or not, goes back to the beginning of the season when they beat the Chicago Bears on Sunday Night Football. That is their only win over a team with a winning record. I don't know if anybody realizes that. I believe that's the only win. Correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're correct. The other wins have come against chump teams in the 49ers, the Buffalo Bills, and now the Miami Dolphins. They're all chumps. And you had to rally at home to beat the 49ers.
Miami came into that game with a winning record.
Yeah, but they've beaten a lot of bad teams on their schedule. I have not considered Miami to be a good football team.
No, I don't either, but I'm just saying Miami did have a winning record until they met the Packers. So technically, they got a win over a team with a winning record when they beat Miami.
They're a chump team.
Because Miami knocked off Tennessee, and Tennessee just beat the hell out of the Patriots. They knocked off the Jets. The Jets are nothing. Miami knocked off Oakland. Oakland's terrible because they started off the season 3-0. After that, they got drilled by the Patriots. They got beat by a mediocre, at best, Cincinnati team. Now, Miami beat the Bears in Miami, 31-28.
Look, man, I watched that game between the Bears and the Dolphins, and the Bears completely blew that game. They should have won that game hands down, and they had two opportunities in the red zone to score, and I believe both were turnovers in that game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. The Bears had no business losing to the Dolphins.
I agree, but you know, it's a win. I mean, they did beat Chicago. They ended up losing to Detroit. They lost to Houston. They beat 13-6 or 13-9 game or something like that against the Jets, and then they lose to Green Bay. So it's Miami technically had a winning record, so you could say maybe two, but their quality win was coming back and beating the Bears. You know, they would have had another quality win had they beaten Minnesota. They would have had another quality win had they come back and been able to hang on and beat the Rams, but this is one of these situations where you look at this team and you say there's such a fine line between good and bad in the National Football League. You get that Minnesota game, you make a kick. You get that L.A. game, and you hang on to the football, and you make a kick, give Aaron Rodgers a chance to take it downfield, which I firmly believe they would have.
You just follow orders
right.
Every time Montgomery.
You take those two games, and your season is looking dramatically different.
By the way.
Yeah.
Funny you should mention Packers and Vikings and that debacle. Guess who the referee is on Thursday night in Seattle?
No.
Our good old buddy Tony Corrente.
Oh, good old buddy Tony Corrente. Good God, no.
For there those that don't know, the official in the Packers versus Vikings game that called the personal foul on Clay Matthews when the game should have been over.
Just
in Seattle. In Seattle, of all places.
Yeah. Good God, no. Well, there you have it. That sucks. Well, hopefully they can overcome him as well. Let's go back to the phone calls. Dr. Eric listening to us in Chippewa Falls on Sports Talk 105.1. How are we looking, Eric? What's going on?
Not too bad. I just got a question for you. I was at the game yesterday, and I want to know what your thoughts are on Rodgers. Is it him not practicing? Because I saw Jimmy Graham a couple times down the middle of the field pretty open, and he didn't throw it to him. Or a couple of them to Devontae where he just airmailed it, didn't even give him a shot. Or the one to Valdez-Scantling that was 2 yards behind him, and that might have been a touchdown.
That's a great question. I honestly, I wish I had a good answer for you, Eric. Appreciate the phone call. I don't know. I've talked about this time and again. And people think we're just bashing Aaron Rodgers because he got the money. No, Aaron Rodgers set the bar so high that he was Superman. He could do anything. He could make these unbelievable throws. And not only could he make the throws, he could do it with such an incredibly laser-like, surgeon-esque ability. It made us all marvel. And while we still see some of those throws that are so silky smooth, you know, where he just flips the wrist and off it goes, and it's unbelievable. We see more of the why didn't he see that guy? Why was that guy wide open and he didn't go to him? He threw one into the feet of the receiver, behind the receiver, in front of the receiver. Why are we seeing some inaccuracy that we're not accustomed to? Why is Aaron Rodgers suddenly looking a little human? You know, I mean, Aaron Rodgers, in the grand scheme of things, okay, is still having an unbelievable season. He just is. He's still having a fantastic season overall. It's just that you're so accustomed to him being Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers has now, by the way, his quarterback rating is now 100. He has thrown 17 touchdowns and one interception. But he's not Patrick Mahomes with 31 touchdowns and seven picks. Aaron Rodgers has been sacked 25 times this year. He's one of the most sacked quarterbacks in the National Football League. Dak Prescott has been sacked 32, Eli Manning 31, Deshaun Watson 30, and it goes on from there. Aaron Rodgers is the seventh most sacked quarterback in the National Football League. Think about this. Derek Carr has been sacked 28 times. Russell Wilson, 29, and he doesn't have anybody to work with. And like I said, Deshaun Watson, Eli Manning, and Dak Prescott. After that, Kirk Cousins, Case Keenum, Matt Ryan have all been sacked 24 times, Carson Wentz, and on down from there. But when you look at protection, Tom Brady's been sacked, get this, Tom Brady has been sacked 16 times. 9 times less than Aaron Rodgers. Andrew Luck, a good season, quarterback rating of 98.4, but he's been sacked only 10 times. Drew Brees has been sacked this year because of quick passing. Drew Brees has a quarterback rating of 123.8. He has thrown 21 touchdowns and one interception. He's averaging 289 yards per game. His quarterback completion percentage is 77.3, and he's been sacked 9 times. That's it.
9 times.
That's it. 9 times. That's it. Because it's quick outs. Get rid of the ball. Go, 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 go. Something that the Packers don't do. They did it against the Bears because they had to. But they don't do it consistently. But I just wanted to bring that up. I mean, not to say that that's the offense you have to run, that that's going to work for the Packers, but there is certainly a methodology to it that has been successful. 855-830-8648. It's just, something's just off. Just off. Is that Lunge or Lang or I don't know who that is. It's Philadelphia, let's do this.
It's Lunge.
A Lunge? Lunge, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Much as Lunge. You got it right.
Okay, just checking.
So I just want to say this, man. As far as confidence level, it depends. It's all on Mike McCarthy and it's all on Aaron Rodgers. And I say that because, I mean, you know the whole cliche of if it isn't broke, don't fix it. We definitely have a legit running back with Aaron Jones. It really behooves me how he doesn't go with the high hand. He just feels the need to put Jamal Williams in when Aaron Jones has it going. Then on top of that, I mean, I'm not a coach or anything like that. I do know about football, but if you sustain a solid run game, it helps you in the passing game. I just feel like that it's too much hero ball and it's too predicated on Aaron Rodgers getting stats and trying to get so many touchdowns. But if you keep things simple and just run the ball between the tackles or, you know, throw some type of deception in. I remember when they used to have Randall Cobb out the backfield and then move him in motion to try to figure out who's going on, who's
right.
Playing, who's man-wise or whatever. We don't see any of that anymore. I mean, I understand Randall Cobb's not in the game, but we do have fast receivers and we do have different players or personnel where we could, like, try to confuse the defense. It's just so basic. And then it's so much put on Aaron Rodgers' shoulders where he has to overthink when he gets to the line of scrimmage. And I'm quite sure there's plays where Mike McCarthy may call, which may be the right play. However, Aaron Rodgers may be on another page, and he changes it at the line. So at the end of the day, it looks like it's all on Mike McCarthy when in actuality part of it is on Aaron Rodgers. But due to the fact that he is who he is, he doesn't get, criticized about it. It all falls on Matt, which isn't fair. But at the same time, we can go into Seattle next week. Well, not this next week, but Thursday, and beat them. If we just keep it simple,
just
do what works. And like you just said about Drew Brees, well, all these fast, everybody's predicated on speed nowadays. As far as fast pass rushers, so on and so forth, you counter that by running the ball at them. That's how you take care of a null and void a pass rusher by doing that.
Right.
So when you run the ball, you throw quick passes. Everything else will open up for you. So yep. I just wanted to just add that. That's all.
All right, appreciate it, man. He drops off, you get on board, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. When we come back, going to hear some from Mike McCarthy, going to do some of the frenzy. Got all kinds of stuff coming up. Eric Brancheck is right around the corner. It's a green and gold Monday. We're covering it head to toe. Paul Emig will join us later. So will Mike Clemens. We got a lot more Packers coverage coming up right after this.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Welcome back to the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. We are glad you were on board. This portion of the program being brought to you by our good friends at Quick Trip. Don't forget, they got a lot of specials going on right now, but the big thing is you can't get all of them if you don't have the Quick Rewards card. Go to Quick Trip, K-W-I-K, quicktrip.com, or just stop in. Get the Quick Rewards card. A lot of great specials. You figure it out right there on your phone. The app gets downloaded, and then you can start finding out ways to, you know, hey, maybe you need some milk, get some milk, and then you get some cents off per gallon of gas. That's the way it works over at Quick Trip. Great. I stop there every day. We stopped there last night on the way home. Quick Trip, fantastic place, great people. Stop in, tell them we said hi. Mike McCarthy met with the media just a little while ago. Take a listen.
This segment of the Bill Michaels Show is brought to you by Concordia Veterans Services Department, dedicated to preparing veterans to make an impact within their next mission through education. See them at cuw.edu/veterans. Now, let's hear from the coach.
There you go. That's Mike McCarthy meeting with the media. We'll talk more about that, and we'll start to break down yesterday's game via the film. Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette going to join us coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Joining us now, Eric Brancheck of the Green Bay Press Gazette. Eric, it took them a while, but they finally realized, oh, by the way, we have a run game in Aaron Jones. I can't figure out why in the second half or in the second quarter they decided to pull him out for an entire season and go with passing down the field to stall their own offense. But other than that, what did you see yesterday?
Well, we all want to get excited, and because they busted out some runs. But I want everyone to be tempered here just a little bit. The reality is you're facing the 31st run defense in the league. Okay, they got a bunch of defensive tackles that don't move very well. And their linebackers, although they can run in the passing game, aren't very physical in the run game. So that that opened this up. Going into this game, you knew they had to run the ball because these guys are not very good at defending it. So it wasn't like they, you know, lined up against the Vikings and pounded it down there on them or the Bears. You know, this defense they played was not very good against the run. And, you know, I got a good friend down in Atlanta that was excited about these guys coming up here and playing, and they just, you know, the reality is they didn't have a good quarterback, and they didn't have a bad rushing defense. So it all added up well, and quite frankly, if they had a real quarterback, this could have been a different ball game. I mean, there's too many errors from the quarterback position in Miami that turned this game around, and you know, because there was a lot of dumb mistakes that happened for the Packers that set this team up. But the problem is they don't have a quarterback that could do anything. So this is, you know, you got the result. So as exciting as we all can be about the run game, let's just make sure we temper this a little bit and understand that they're playing a bad rushing defense. And this is what they should have done against a bad rushing defense.
What do you make of the defensive side of things, holding a team to 12 when they did have some short fields? And granted, there was a couple of self-inflicted mistakes, but for the most part, the defense held steady.
Yeah, they certainly did bad. You know, first of all, you got a quarterback that can't catch a snap behind center on that opening drive. And that opening drive, I mean, you were there. I was sitting in my chair going, this is not good. This is going to turn out really bad. And, of course, their quarterback can't catch a snap. So then, you know, Packers get a break there and get that one. The block punt against the normal team that has a good quarterback, they probably score there. So now they're in a dogfight. The quarterback, you know, he couldn't make too many throws yesterday. So, you know, you don't want to get excited and you want to get all that. But the reality is if you boil it all down and just look at football and take the emotion out of it, they had a bad quarterback. And that's what they did is what they should have done. They should have beaten a team with a bad quarterback and run the ball against a defense that can't stop it.
So Aaron Rodgers, there's been a lot of discussion about how he just kind of looks off. Give me your thoughts on him right now.
Yeah, there's definitely some questions there about what's going on. You know, and I've thought about it an awful lot this past week, and I watched some tape and watched a lot of video in the evenings and was thinking, you know, there's still the human element of playing football. These guys aren't robots. He just got a big, giant contract. He's, in comparison, people are calling him the greatest quarterback ever, right? And he's got the weight of the franchise on his shoulders. So sometimes that's a lot for any human being, Aaron Rodgers or you or myself, to have to handle. And it looks to me like there's just so much pressure on him that it's making his decisions. He's second-guessing some of the decisions. And I think some of the throws, you know, could be some of the knee. I know there's, the MCL ligament might certainly be healed at this point, but there certainly is probably some bone bruising and some of that goes on there. That's some residual soreness, and that's why he's not stepping into some of the throws and looks kind of off on the deep stuff. But the accuracy isn't there, and certainly just the expressions, the body language looks like he's under an immense amount of pressure. And, you know, for him to be successful, you just got to play. Just wing it and have fun.
The play calling is an area that a lot of people are screaming about, predictability and such. And I went through the numbers. Look, they don't run the ball on third and fourth down. As a matter of fact, when they do, they run it very poorly. Give me your thoughts on the way this team is kind of set. I think at times they've set themselves up for failure. But, you know, you're running the ball extremely well, and all of a sudden Devontae Adams is in the backfield. You are running the ball extremely well, and all of a sudden it's Jamal Williams that's in the backfield. Or you're running the ball well, Aaron Rodgers is under center, you're keeping the safeties honest, you're moving the linebackers up in the box, and all of a sudden he's in the shotgun, and you've got the running back ahead of him. It seems like they're their own worst enemy more often than not.
Well, I think, you know, I look at it as sometimes there are some decisions yesterday. To give you an example, in the first quarter, their second series or first series, you know, Aaron Rodgers runs for 7 yards and first down. Well, he had two guys open in the flat, one on each side. He didn't throw it. I don't know why. Say it's bad play calling. Mm-hmm. I don't know. There was guys that were just wide open. He was looking for something downfield, and you know, to me, bad play calling. It could be, but the what I got out of yesterday's game was at least there was some flow. There was, you know, what I consider flow is okay. So they run a toss and then they run play action off that toss action the next play. That's to me is the flow, because now I'm making safeties and I'm making linebackers think, and that's when usually they make bad decisions and things happen. You can take advantage of. So I think that's, you know, I don't know if the play calling was terrible. Listen, no running back in the NFL plays every single down. It just doesn't happen. Even the great Todd Gurley takes a series off or two. You know, they take guys out of the game on occasion to give them a breather and make sure that they're not, you know, also give the defense something else to think about. Because if another running back's in there, they do something different. Now I have to adjust, so they're going to run stuff that I'm not ready for. So, you know, for anyone to say, well, they took Aaron Jones out of the ballgame for an entire series, good. I mean, that's what you should do. I mean, you can't run that guy. If you run that guy 25 times a game, I think you're going to be asking for trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at what he does. What makes him a great running back is his vision. He's got a little burst, no doubt. But if you watch Jamal Williams and if you watch Aaron Jones, you'll see the difference. It's the ability to see the blocks and being able to see how, like, for instance, there was a player they were running. It was a toss. And he started running, you know, a complete toss, like an old high school, college toss. He tossed in the ball. He cuts it all the way back to the opposite A-gap because that's where the hole was. He saw that. Where if you saw Jamal Williams in a couple of his carries, he just runs to where they're supposed to go. Yet, if he would have slowed down and seen what was happening one gap over, that's where the hole ended up developing. So, you know, there's a lot of things that go into being a really good running back, having speed and all that kind of stuff. But the vision of Aaron Jones is what I think sets him apart.
Hey, real quick before I let you go, Jimmy Graham, right now nowhere to be found. Give me your thoughts.
Oh, I think we talked about this already, didn't we?
A little bit.
I think he just, you know what? When the Packers' offense was really, really good, they had a stable of receivers that ran tremendous routes and were really fast. Okay, so you look back at when the offense was spectacular, you had Jordy Nelson, Greg Jennings, Randall Cobb, and Finley as a tight end. All those guys can run, and they can all run good routes. And, oh, by the way, you had a number four receiver in Donald Driver. That was a pretty good four receiver. And he made a lot of catches because he's going up against the fourth best D-back, right? So his career, especially at the end when he was still carrying on, was primarily made up because he was against their fourth best cover guy. So, you know, he runs good routes. So what the Packers have right now is one guy who runs amazing routes, and they have a couple of young guys who are learning how to run good routes and certainly are improving. MVS ran routes yesterday that was fantastic. So did St. Brown. There was one pass where the ball was out of the quarterback's hand before he even turned his head to look for it. That's good route running. That's fantastic. It's just not enough, and they don't have a tight end that can run. So to talk about, you know, how Jimmy Graham works into what I was just babbling about for the last 2 minutes is that I don't think he can run like he used to, and certainly some of his athletic skills have diminished. That going up and getting those high balls and having to turn around in midair and do all those things just aren't what he used to be, and unfortunately that's kind of what the Packers are missing. They're missing that guy that can in the middle part of the field that can run.
Good stuff as always, my friend. We will talk to you soon, okay?
All right, take care.
Appreciate it, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. That's Eric Branchick of the Green Bay Press Gazette joining us for a couple of minutes on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard. They treat you fair. They've been doing it for a long, long time. Call them 844-PRIDE. Go to schneiderjobs.com. More of the Bill Michael Show next.
16 stations strong. The Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Adam Deputy gets deals done that others can't or won't. If you're in the market for a house, your first call should be to Adam Deputy. Military, teachers, firefighters, law enforcement, healthcare workers, or EMT workers. Check out his Home for Heroes program at AdamDeputy.com.
The Radio.com app is the official new home of The Bill Michaels Show.
That's such good news.
Download it today to listen to the show anytime, anywhere. Now, a green and gold update. Here's Mike Clemens.
The Packers beat the Dolphins 31-12 here at Lambeau Field. Packers rookie receiver Marquez Valdez-Scantling led the team with 6 receptions, but veteran Davante Adams came up with 2 touchdown catches, including beating tight coverage in the red zone in the first quarter.
I actually wasn't expecting a one-on-one. I think they tried to funnel me back inside, but I ran kind of like a little stutter, like a short post kind of. And I was able to find the hole and 12 put it right where it needed to be. So got to take advantage of that. Every time we get in the red zone, we like to take advantage of all the one-on-one opportunities.
With a record of 4-4-1, Aaron Rodgers said again he struggled to find open receivers at times, but at least they got a W at home.
Well, we needed to win, so that was important. But we got the run game going. We had a lot more balance, which we haven't had all season. But there's things to work on. Started off fast, had a little bit of a lull, and then kind of got things going again. So it wasn't atypical.
The Dolphins only managed 4 field goals from kicker Jason Sanders, including one from 47 yards out. They were missing 3 starting offensive linemen, but still managed to open holes for 35-year-old running back Frank Gore, who rushed for 90 yards on just 13 carries. Miami's head coach Adam Gase.
Like, the run game was going okay. We were getting some good chunks, and then it just really kind of dried up for us to where we started getting second and long, third and long, and we were trying to find some ways to get some quick throws and ball out. And, you know, they did a good job covering us when they were in man. We shook free a few times, and there was a couple times that we got wired a little bit, and that caused a negative play.
And tense times for Packers linebacker Clay Matthews, who spent the weekend wondering if his family's home in California had been destroyed by wildfires near Malibu.
That was really scary, you know, wildfires out there. And I probably spent, you know, from the time I got off of work here, you know, watching 6 hours of consecutive LA news just because there was mandatory evacuation for, you know, the house that we're currently living in out there, as well as my parents. And I lost communication with them Friday evening through about Saturday noon. That was pretty nerve-wracking as well. And it came all the way up to our gates and our development with a mandatory evacuation. And I told my wife when we went to sleep, I said, we're really going to have a house in the morning or not? And Fortunately, on Saturday, my neighbor sent me a picture of the house and still standing. I'm sure there's probably a little bit of damage with embers and all that, but I don't know if you guys seen the footage of it. It's terrifying.
That's Packers linebacker Clay Matthews in Green Bay. I'm Mike Clemens on the Bill Michaels Show.
Always good, Mike. Appreciate it. Coming up in the next hour, our good buddy Paul Emmick, our Green and Gold analyst, is going to join us. Also, Mike Clemens is going to be here as well. Stay tuned. A lot more of the Bill Michaels Show coming up right after this.
Wisconsin, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.